Yesterday was Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and as mentioned previously, the Kviyas in the year Tavshin and Aleph was the same as it is this year. So, before we get to that, we haven't been able to get together the last few weeks, but it is interesting to note, as per what we've been discussing over the weeks, that once again, in that period, the Sichus of the Rebbe, the focus on Mashiach became somewhat more overt and intensified. So you had the Sichah of Shlach, which mostly, you know, dealt with the Meraglim and so on. But at the end, the Rebbe spoke very strongly about how spoke very strongly about the imminence of Mashiach's arrival. The Rebbe also, in that the Sicha, made an interesting observation in explaining the role of the Meraglim in preparing. The Rebbe explains it that the Meraglim that Moshe sent actually were successful in their mission, but they messed things up by adding to things that were not part of their mission. But the part that Moshe sent them to do, they actually, Rebbe explains that spiritually, they actually accomplished. So along the way, one of the things that Rebbe explains is why they had to be the leaders of each of the tribes, had to be sent. Because each tribe, was going to have and they had to, well, traverse the entire land, because at that time, it wasn't yet known which part of Eretz Yisrael would go to which tribe. That only was revealed later through the lottery. So what happened is they had to familiarize themselves with the various types of terrain and various environments in order to prepare their tribe for life in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rebbe says this in the footnote. He says specifically that that as part of preparation for adapting to a new land and a new environment, each tribe would have to adopt a lifestyle while still in the desert that would be suited to the area in which they would be, in which they would inherit. So it's very interesting that it is a pretty overt allusion to the idea of that our job at this point in Galus is to begin adapting a Geula lifestyle. Whereas you need to make not only conceptual adjustments and spiritual justice, but literally, you know, adjusting our lifestyles to, as the Rebbe says, that in order to prepare for a new life, you need to begin in advance, already adopting that new lifestyle. And then after that, the Rebbe spoke on Chav Ches 7. Again, then that's the Rebbe spoke very strongly on the topic of Mashiach. A big portion of what later became the Kuntres Beis Rabbeinu Sheva Bavel was taken from that talk on Chav Ches 7, where the Rebbe spoke about how the Beis Hamikdash will actually be revealed first in 770, and then from 770 we'll go to Eretz Yisrael. So, and similarly, again, in Chukas, the Rebbe spoke again about the idea of again, there was a strong focus on the topic of Mashiach and Geula. We can't review everything here, but so here again, in this week, once again, for the first time in a number of weeks, the Rebbe, near the beginning of the Sicha, makes a reference to the fact that in recent times we have been strongly emphasizing the topic of Geula, and sends you in the footnote to the talk of Chav Ches Nissen and all the subsequent talks. So the Rebbe is clearly, once again, overtly indicating that these talks are, in a sense, a series. Okay, this is the topic of the day that has still been ongoing since Chav Ches Nissen. But the way the the sikh is constructed is that the Rebbe builds it around the idea of the fact of the issue of the date of the month and the day of the week. The idea that came out on Yud Tammuz, as it was yesterday, Shabbos Parashas came out on Yud Tammuz. So on Yud Tammuz, the Rebbe says what we have is we have two. In general, we always have the fact that there's a day of the week and there's a day of the month. What we have here is a convergence in which we have the seventh day of the week and the tenth day of the month, which each one follows a different system. One is the system of the days of the week is governed by the sun, and the system by which we determine the days of the month is governed by the moon. The fact that we have a calendar that divides the solar year into months is simply a human construct. There's nothing about the way the sun circles the earth that creates a division of months, unlike the moon, which very clearly has a division of months because it completes a cycle of diminishing and renewing every 29 and a half days or so. So the Rebbe explains that since we know everything in Torah is, and everything in Yiddishkeit has a lesson in it and has a divine intent and was set up that way intentionally and very specifically by the Eibishter. So the fact is that these two things, the date of the week and the date of the month, reflect two different systems whereby the Eibishter governs the world. And therefore, and certainly, every Jew has to take a lesson and direction in life in his service of Hashem from these things. Especially when we talk about the convergence of these two days, the seventh day of the week and the tenth day of the month. Certainly that contains a lesson in a person's divine service. A lesson to be drawn from each of the numbers individually, from the seventh day of the week, and there's a lesson to be learned from the tenth day of the month. But and even more so from the convergence of the two together, that they both land on the same day, and since the day in question, where the seventh day of the week and the tenth day of the month converge on the same day, it also happens to be Shabbos Parshas Chukas, and is the date in the month of Tammuz, so certainly it has to have a connection with the Parsha and with the month of Tammuz specifically, and also a connection with the days that follow, because we know that the next week, the days of the following week are blessed from the Shabbos before, so there has to be a connection with the days of Yud Beis and Yud Gimel Tammuz, the day in which the Friedrich Rebbe went free from exile, and also the day of Shiva Asa Tammuz, which comes up the next Shabbos. So, and then the Rebbe concludes and says, and also and especially a shaychus with the true and complete redemption, which is the most important subject. Which is the most important timely subject, as mentioned many times, and especially recently, and that's where he says in the footnote, see talk of Chav Ches Nissen and all subsequent talks since then. So basically, the Rebbe goes to explain the basic difference between the days of the week and the days of the month, that the days of the week represent the world as it is from the perspective of creation. We say that the Eibishter created. Chazal say on the words Eila Toldos Hashemayim Ba'aretz, that in most places in the Torah, the word Toldos is not written fully with two vavs. Okay, usually only has one or the other of the vavs. There's two places where it's written full with two vavs. One is Eila Toldos Hashemayim Ba'aretz. These are the Toldos of the heavens and the earth, which says in Parshas Bereishis about creation. And then, late in the book of Rus, it says, Ela Telus Peretz. When it goes to list the genealogy of King David, which is the final words in the book of Rus, is Yishai Herlet as David. So, when it, at the end of the book of Rus, it mentions Ela Telus Peretz. So, there too, it's written with Telus Mole. So, this is a theme that's going to, that I'm going to keep referring back to it throughout the Sikha. That's why I'm even though basically, so in Chassidus it's explained, and in many places the Rebbe refers to this. In many places he refers to it without explaining it, assuming that you know from other places. In fact, in the later years, if you listen to the talks of the Rebbe in the later years, the Rebbe would say about certain things, Kimaduba Kama Pama, as said many times. So, a lot of what the Rebbe was saying in the later years, he was sort of referencing back by saying, we spoke about this many times, so do your homework. I can't spell it all out. So basically, the way it's explained in Chassidus is that why are these two places, does it say Terlis Molei? That it's spelled out in full with both vavs. So it's explained that Eila Terlis Hashemayim Varetz talks about the perfection in creation. The Eberstein created a perfect world, a complete world. So there's the world as it is from the aspect of its initial creation. Then there's the process whereby the Jewish people go about doing the Aveda in the world and actually bringing the world to a whole new level. In fact, it says in the act of creation, it says at the end of the whole thing, when it says it talks about the arrival of Shabbos, so we end off with the words Ashabara Lekim Lasis. And actually explains Lasis means latakin, to rectify, to fix, to improve upon, so to speak. So the way the world is created at a certain level of perfection. The world is whole, it's complete, it's perfect, but there's also the way the world is created, there's room for the effort of the human being through the Avodas Hashem, through Torah Mitzvahs, to bring about a new level of perfection in the world, a higher level of perfection in the world, or if you want, a chiddush in the world that isn't present from creation, and that's alluded to in the words Ela Telis Peretz. Peretz means to break out, to burst forth. So the idea is that the world is creation, the perfection of the world as it is from the perspective of creation is a finite perfection, if you will. The perfection that's introduced into the world, the chiddush, and the perfection that's introduced into the world through the Aveda of the Jewish people is actually in a way of Ela Telus Peretz, the way of breaking out beyond the finite limitations of the created world and introducing an infinite revelation into the world. So that's how the Rebbe goes on to explain the difference between the significance of the days of the week and the days of the month. That the days of the week represent the creation, something which is not dependent on human action, so basically, as it is, it's the way the Abish set things up from above. The order of creation is that there goes one day, another day, 6 days go, and then we have Shabbos. And even with Shabbos is already a state of holiness, but still in all, that holiness comes from above. It's not a... Whereas when it comes to the month, the entire system of Rosh Chodesh, of establishing the months, is totally dependent on the Jewish people. The Jewish people have to establish the months. They have to sanctify the months. And that's why when it comes to the holidays, we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. When it comes to Shabbos, we say Mekadesh HaShabbos. He who sanctifies the Shabbos, because the sanctity of Shabbos comes from above. The Gemara tells us the sanctity of the Yom Tovim or of the Rosh Chodesh comes from the Jewish people. That's why we have to first say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Rosh Chodesh, because the Jewish people introduced that element of sanctity. So the way it is on the most simple level is that the 7 days of creation came right away. 7 days of creation, that's the way the world started off, with 7 days of creation. The whole concept of sanctifying the new month only came at the time of the Jewish people going out of Egypt, when the Eved introduced this commandment of sanctifying the new month, because that represents the time when the Jewish people start the process of the service of God with Torah Mitzvahs. They're going out of Mitzrayim to Matan Torah. That's when they're given this commandment to sanctify the new month. So spiritually what that means is that the days of the week refer to the order of creation as it was created in its entirety and in its perfection. And the days of the month allude to the chidush, the month, alludes to the chidush in creation that is accomplished through human effort, through the avodah of the Jewish people, to the point of the ultimate perfection. The ultimate perfection, as we mentioned in the few sikhs back, the ultimate perfection is, the ultimate chidush and perfection is in, when the world, we reach the point of Shamayim Chadoshim Ve'eretz HaChadoshim, that in the time of the redemption, through our efforts, will actually be created a new heaven and a new earth. So the Rebbe says that this difference between days of the week and days of the month, or the world as it is from the perspective of creation, or the world as it is from the perspective of this new element that's introduced through Avoda of human beings, is originates from two different levels in godliness. There's godliness that is relative to creation, that's finite revelations of godliness that's commensurate, so to speak, to creation, and is enclosed within creation. And then there's godliness that's higher than creation. That's the union of the, that, so the godliness that's invested into creation, that relates to the idea of the weekly cycle. Godliness that transcends creation is related to the idea of the monthly cycle, which is the role of Avedus HaAdam in this world. So the Rebbe says this is especially manifest when we talk about the distinction between the seventh day of the week and the tenth day of the month. In our particular case, the two different numbers of this day, meaning yesterday, Shabbos Parashas Chukas, when it was the seventh day of the week, the tenth day of the month. Because seven represents completion in the natural order, the natural cycle of the natural weekly cycle, and the seventh is the completion of that cycle. At its source, spiritually, at its source, those are the seven divine attributes that are the source of the 7 days of creation. The number 10 is associated with the aspect of godliness that is higher than the world, the ten spheres, which include also the three divine intellectual faculties, which are higher than the world, higher even than being a source for creation. So the revelation of the aspect of 10, which is godliness that's higher than the world, that's accomplished through human effort. And he adds and brings this new dimension, chiddush, over and above the act of creation itself, that the Jew, through his effort, brings the revelation of the three divine intellectual faculties, so that there is this complete revelation of 10 in the world, in addition to the revelation of the seven emotional attributes which are already invested into creation. So what does that mean in practical terms in the Jew's divine service for God? So it says in the Pasuk, it says, Al Tatzar Esmoyev, that there is the Eved commanded the Jewish people when traveling on their way to Eretz Yisrael, not to do battle with Moav and not even to start up with them. So Chassidus explains, why not? Why couldn't they start up? They were supposed to avoid conflict with three nations who were on the border with Eretz Yisrael on their way, Ammon, Moav, and Edom. So it's explained that when the Jews went into Eretz Israel the first time, they were only given the land of seven nations. But Avraham Avinu was actually promised the lands of 10 nations. The other 3 nations will not be given to the Jewish people. The lands of Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoni will not be given over to the Jewish people until the times of Mashiach. And so this explains that spiritually what this means is, and at that time those lands were inhabited by Ammon, Moab, and Edom, and that's why they were warned not to start up with them. So what that means, and Chassidus explains what that means in spiritual terms, is that in this world we only have the capacity to capture, to conquer, to the 7 emotional attributes, but the 3, and even the work that a Jew does with his intellect, with his 3 intellectual faculties, is only insofar as they govern the emotions, as they relate to the emotions. But pure intellect, to be able to completely conquer the pure intellect as it stands onto itself, that is something that we will not achieve in the fullest sense until after Mashiach comes. Until again, we have, as we said, Eila Teldes Peretz, which is higher than Eila Teldes Hashamayim Baretz. So, the Rebbe says like this, in order to accomplish these 2 things of 10 and 7, where do we have this ability from? How are we able to strive and achieve the spiritual perfection that's expressed in the act of creation? And then, through our efforts, achieve the spiritual perfection that transcends creation. Where do we have the power and the ability to do that? We say this is accomplished through human effort. Where do we have that ability to do that? So he says, because within creation itself, these 2 levels exist within creation. Where do we find these 2 levels expressed within creation? We find that Torah Shebiksav, it says, in the written Torah, it says that the world is created in 7 days. In the oral Torah, in the Mishnah, in Avos, it says the world is created with 10 utterances. So these two aspects of Torah express the 2 different aspects that exist in creation. The written Torah is the Torah as it's given from above. It's something that human beings have no right to alter in any way, manner, shape, or form. It stands as it is, as it came from above. Torah Shebaal Peh, the oral Torah, on the other hand, is predominantly made up of teachings that came to the fore through human effort and human analysis, following the rules and guidance established by the Torah. But it came mostly, what makes up our oral Torah is, came about through the effort of the great sages, who through their study and analysis and extrapolation based on the rules of Torah study, that represents the Torah that we have as a result of, to a certain extent, of human effort. So that's why in Torah Shebiksav, which is totally a revelation from above, so that there it's expressed the idea of creation in 7 days, the idea of the significance of the number 7 in creation. In Torah Shebaal Peh is expressed the idea that the world is created with 10 utterances, the significance of the number 10 in creation. And because these 2 things both exist within creation, that's what empowers a Jew to do the Avodah through his own efforts to rectify the world, to accomplish an increase and a chiddush in creation, the revelation of the aspect of 10, to the ultimate extent, as it will be ultimately revealed in the future time in the way of Eila Teldes Peretz, he keeps referring back to. He says these 2 things, when we talk about these 2 aspects of 7 and 10, each one has an advantage that the other doesn't have. The advantage of 7 is that represents the perfection of creation as the Eibishter created it originally. So this is original good, original perfection. And this is the perfection of the creation itself, meaning that it's something that's fully internalized within, that's its reality. The perfection that is part and parcel of creation itself. The advantage of ten is that it accomplishes a revelation of godliness that's higher than nature. That's higher than the limitations of creation. As we say about the, as the Torah says, although it's referring to the process of tithing certain animals, it says Asiri Yia Kedesh, that the tenth will be Kedesh. So this explains us the idea that the significance of the number 10, that it represents this aspect of Kedesh, holiness which transcends the world. We say that in the 7 days of creation, Shabbos is also called Kedesh. So that, still in all, that's still the Kedusha as it comes from above and becomes part of the creation. This Kedusha that comes through human effort is actually reaches even higher, as we know that any spiritual revelation that comes down and is initiated by human effort is higher than that which comes down without the initiation from below. So he says, with this we can understand the tremendous quality of the day in which the seventh of the week and the tenth of the month land on the same day. Because since each one has an advantage that the other doesn't have, the fusion of the two together in one day, that is the ultimate. That A, on the one hand, we have the idea of a revelation that's higher than creation, that's higher than the world, and B, that it becomes part of the perfection of the world itself. It becomes internalized and accepted into the world itself. Now, if you remember, we've been showing how throughout all the weeks following Chavkas Nisan, where the Rebbe spoke about the idea of bringing the lights of Tov into the vessels of Tikkun, one of the themes throughout that the Rebbe has been talking about is the idea of fusing, the fusion between the revelation of godliness that transcends the world, that's higher than the world, and bringing that into the world. That has been the theme throughout. So the Rebbe says that this idea is also alluded to in the fact that when you put 7 and 10 together, what do you get? 17. What does 17 equal in gematria? The most famous gematria of 17 is the word tov, which means good. So good, when we say the word good without any modifiers, so we're talking about all kinds of good, every different kind of good that exists. So for instance, good that exists within the natural order of creation and good that exists, it's not limited to one type of good. So it's good that exists from above creation. We're talking about good that is revealed, which is the good that's in the natural order. We're talking about good that's hidden and concealed and has to be extracted and brought out through human efforts. So it comes out that the number 17, which is Gematria Tov, includes the tithe of the natural order, which is 7, and the finite good of the natural order, which is 7, and the infinite good, which transcends the world, which is 10, and together they make 17. So with that, we'll understand the connection between this Shabbos, from which is blessed the following Shabbos of Shiva Asavatamas, because when the 7th day of the week and the 10th day of the month and the month of Tamas come out on the same day, so Shiva Asavatamas, which is normally a fast day, something which we associate with negative events, so the 17th of Tammuz comes out on Shabbos. What happens when the 17th of Tammuz comes out on Shabbos? We don't fast. Okay? So what is the spiritual significance of having a fast day on which you don't fast? Because in general, we know that a fast day, even though externally it seems to be a negative thing, but really, internally, it actually represents a deeper good. It's considered, as the Navi Yeshaya says, it's a Yom Ratzon L'Hashem. It's a day of goodwill, a day of Hashem's will is manifest, is revealed. It's a day to be where you have an opportunity to get closer to Hashem, even though on the outside it appears to be something negative. So what happens is, when the 10th of Tammuz comes out on Shabbos, so then the 17th of Tammuz comes out on Shabbos, so it turns out that in such a day, when it comes out on Shabbos and we don't fast, what that means spiritually is that the inner good is revealed without the external negativity. Because it's not only not a day of fasting, it's a day of indulging in pleasures and celebration of Shabbos. So it comes out that you have the two qualities when Shavuos and Thomas falls out on Shabbos. You have the ultimate good that comes from above, which is associated with every Shabbos. Then you have the concealed good, which is brought about through human effort by revealing the hidden good that's within the negative, which that hidden good is usually the reason why it is within the negative, is because it's an infinite good. It's higher than the world. So that also stands openly in a revealed way because the negativity is completely stripped away. And in fact, as we said before, that these two aspects of Aveda are related to two aspects of Torah, the written Torah and the oral Torah. So similarly, we see this is expressed in, right, that the Torah tells us, the written Torah tells us about the 7 days of creation. It's in the oral Torah that we find out that the world was created with 10 utterances. That emphasizes the number 10. And he says, similarly, the reason why we're prohibited from fasting on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a Torah command. Whereas the fast days, except for Yom Kippur, are rabbinic commandments. So that's why, the obvious reason why we don't fast on Shabbos is because the Torah commandment to have pleasure on Shabbos overrides the rabbinic commandment to fast. So what is that? What's the deeper meaning, the deeper significance behind that? She says, why are there no fast days in the Torah for negative things? The only fast day in the Torah is for Yom Kippur. Because the whole concept of fasting over negative, the whole reason for fasting over negative things is only related to the whole concept of the oral Torah. Because the written Torah as it comes from above, is a Torah of kindness. From the perspective of Torah as it comes from above, everything is good. There is no room for negativity. The negativity originates when in this world where we have an opportunity for human effort. In order for human effort to be able to exist, we have to have free will. We have to have free will in order to facilitate that human effort should be in any way meaningful. We have to have free will. So through that, we have the possibility of negative things, but again, even that only exists for the purpose of revealing an even greater good. So the fast days that we have besides Yom Kippur are all about the repentance and all about correcting the negatives that existed in the past and unfortunately still exist to some extent amongst us today, as the Rambam says, over our bad deeds and the bad deeds of our forefathers. So there's no room for that in Teresh HaBekhsav. It's only from the later prophets and in the oral Torah that they operate within the state of the world as it is down below, not as it is from creation from above. So therefore there is a possibility for sin, and therefore there has to be the process of correction, tshuva, which again, tshuva is that process whereby we bring about a greater revelation into the world that existed in and of itself. So the Torah is, from the aspect perspective of Torah, what's revealed is the revealed good in creation. From the aspect of Torah, there's also the process whereby we have to reveal and extract the concealed good, which unfortunately is sometimes concealed in negative things. So that's really the ultimate purpose of all of the fast days, is that even when they established them originally, they said that the ultimate purpose was that they should be transformed into holidays. They didn't establish them as fast days and say, listen, maybe someday, things will get better. We'll we'll call it off. Because, no, when they originally established the fast days, they established it with the specific intent that these same days that now are fast days will one day become holidays. That's the whole purpose of them. That we're supposed to turn them into holidays. So when we say that Shabbos has the power to push aside such a fast day, because Shabbos represents the revelation of good from above. So this is because of the revelation of good from above, there's no room for a tainus. But that still, so the Rebbe says that this is even more so when we say that the 17th of Tammuz is blessed by the Shabbos before, which is the 10th day of Tammuz. That when the 10th day of Tammuz falls out on Shabbos, so it ends up being the Shabbos which blesses the following Shabbos, the Shabbos is the 17th of Tammuz, because we have this inyan, we have the inyan of the 7, which is Shabbos, the good from above, we have the inyan of 10 in the month, which represents the hidden good that we reveal through our efforts, and we have the unification of the two, that we have both the revealed good and the concealed good together, which means, so that's expressed in the following week on Shabbos, Shabbos and Batamas, the fact that we have that even the hidden good of the fast day comes out in a way of revealed good in terms of a Shabbos that we celebrate by indulging, by partaking of eating and drinking and so on. So the Rebbe also connects it with the idea of the break, that the 17th of Tammuz, one of the events that took place on the 17th of Tammuz, is the breaking of the Luchas. The breaking of the Luchas on the outside is a bad thing. And yet, we say that when after Moshe Rabbeinu breaks the Luchas, what does the Eibush say to him? Yashakechecha sheshibarta. Thank you very much. Good going. Right? So what does that represent? That represents... And the expression he uses is Yasha Kechacha. May your strength be straight, so to speak. It's a blessing for your, in meaning the idea of the advantage that comes out through human effort, through the Avoda of the Tachton, of the one down below, which, because this brings out the advantage of tshuva. This brings out the advantage, as we say, that in this with the second luchas came an increase in Torah, an increase in Torah in terms of halachas and agadas, the aspects of Torah which come about more through human effort. So the Rebbe also connects it with the Parshas Chukas, that the Rebbe explains the Torah, why is it called the statute of the entire Torah? I mean, it's a statute of the Torah, the 630 mitzvahs. Why is it the statute, the chukah of the Torah? So he explains that in Torah in general, the mitzvahs in general represent two aspects in a Jew's connection with the Eibushter. One is which in general is made up of ratzo and shayv, which again, as we pointed out, is something that the Rebbe keeps referring back to in these talks following Chavkas Nissen, which he talked about the lights of Toh and the vessels of Tikkun, and that the way you connect to the higher lights is through Ratzu, and the way you bring them down is through Shuv, and the fact that there has to be the unification of both of these things. But that's similarly this, the Rebbe connects this idea to the idea of 7 and 10, as the Rebbe explains, that the mitzvah of Paraduma has, all other mitzvahs generally tend to have one or the other of these aspects, which means some mitzvahs focus more on the drive to lift yourself up from the world, to go out of this world to connect to God, so to speak, the rush, the yearning, the desire, the rush to connect to God, so sort of to lift yourself up from this world to connect to God. There are other mitzvahs that the main aspect of the mitzvah is the idea of bringing godliness down into the world, because that's ultimately, even when a Jew has this drive to go out and to connect and to transcend the world, to connect to God, he still has to, he's obligated to turn back around and bring God, the revelation of godliness down into this world. So, whereas the mitzvah Paraduma has combines both elements together. In the fact that we burn the burning of the red heifer and turning it into ash, That's the idea of taking the physical and lifting it above its natural physical state, and then we have the idea of taking living waters and pouring them into a vessel, which represents spiritually the idea of bringing godliness down into physical vessels. But the idea is, so the lesson from we learn from Paradum is that there has to be the unification of both these elements. That when a Jew is feeling this tremendous rush to go out of himself, to go out of this world, to connect to God, he needs to be aware that the ultimate purpose is to bring it back down. And even when a Jew is involved with bringing godliness down into the world, he needs to remember that this is not really where he wants to be. He's against your will, you're forced to live down here. Really, he wants to be focusing on his connection with God. So this is, again, expressed in the idea of the 7 and the 10. And then the Rebbe explains the connection to Yud Beis Gimel Tammuz, because this distinction that we made between the written Torah and the oral Torah is actually more specifically, we can make the distinction between the revealed Torah and the hidden aspect of Torah. The revealed Torah, basically, including the Torah Shavuot Peh, focuses mainly on the halacha, how a Jew is supposed to conduct himself in this world, how a Jew is supposed to function in the world, within the world, according to the rules of the world. That's the revealed Torah. The Pnimius of Torah, the inner dimension of Torah reveals the deeper significance. It's actually and also reveals the hidden good that exists within the world. So the revealed portion of Torah focuses on making the connection between the revealed aspect of a Jew and the revealed aspect of God. The hidden, concealed portion of the Torah focuses more about the revealing the concealed aspect of the Jewish soul and connecting to the concealed aspect of God, which is the infinite revelation of God. So even though we said, generally speaking, the oral Torah is revealed through human efforts, this is expressed even more so in Pnimius HaTorah. Because the Rebbe explains that the reason why this Golus had to be so long, even more so than the Golus of Mitzrayim, which was a preparation for the giving of the Torah at the Har Sinai, is because since what we're working towards is the revelation of the secrets of the Torah, this requires much more effort. This requires much more, a much longer Golus process in order to bring about this revelation. And that's one of the reasons, and that's why the revelation of Pnimius HaTorah requires such a lengthy Golus process. And even the revelations that we have already experienced of Pnimius HaTorah have been primarily in the later generations, starting with the Arizal and continuing with the Baal Shem Tov, and even more so progressively in each later generation as we get deeper and deeper into the Golos. Because the obvious question would seem to be, in the later generations we're on much lower spiritual levels, how can we say that as we get to lower spiritual levels, more and more of the hidden secrets of the Torah are revealed, more and more higher levels of Torah are revealed as we get to lower and lower levels? And the answer is because it comes through human effort, because it's dafka through the work and the suffering of people, that we bring about the higher and greater revelations the later and deeper into the goals that we get. So that's the connection of Shabbos, the 10th day of Tammuz, with the days of Yud Beis Gimel Tammuz, which follow, is because we see specifically that same process played out with the arrest of the Friedrich Rebbe. Through his arrest and through the persecution and through the darkness came out that he was freed, and as a result of that he ended up leaving that country and ultimately coming to America, and each step in that process caused to a far greater extent the spreading and revealing of the wellsprings of Chassidus outward in a much greater way than it ever existed in prior generations. So here we have the same thing, that that, so this in turn gives us the power to A, bring about that not just to reveal the secrets of the Torah, but to actually take the vessels of the world, since we saw the way it happened in his miracle, the combination of these two things, a miracle which is higher than nature, was fused with nature itself, that the very people who arrested him, and the very people who were, they're the ones who ended up having to set him free, and enabling him to reach this far greater level of the spreading of Chassidus. So similarly, each and every one of us is empowered to bring these greater revelations down into the world, but in a way that the world itself is able to accept it. And this is actually the process to the preparation to the immediate redemption, which at that time we'll see the complete perfection of side of perfection as it there is from the aspect of creation inside the perfection that is achieved through human effort. So the Rebbe says very interesting in this sikha, the Rebbe really goes to break it down in like very simple terms what the lesson is. We talk about revelations higher than creation. So he says, the Rebbe says like this, I know it's getting a little late, but I think it's important. The Rebbe says that one of the lessons we take from this is that every day a Jew has to have these two components in his service of Hashem. On the one hand, he has to have the divine service of days of the week, which is his work within the existence of the world as the world stands, to reveal godliness within the world as it is. And then he has to have the avodah of the days of the month, which is to bring a chiddush in creation. More than the world itself expresses, to bring something new, a new revelation to creation. So how do you see, the Rebbe says, where do you see this in a person's daily avodah? He says, the Rebbe says, the first thing you start off your day is, what do? You say, Maidani, right? So Maidani Lufanecha, what do we thank the Eibushter for? We thank him for two things. First of all, Shechzayat to be Nishmasi. We thank you for giving me, returning back to me my soul. Okay, so that's the same soul you had yesterday, same soul you had the day before. It's the same, this is part of the whole natural order of creation. This is, so when you're talking about this is a natural thing. People go to sleep and wake up in the morning. So what are you thanking Hashem for? You're thanking him for this natural cycle of sleep and renewal and so on. Then we conclude, what do we say? Rab emuna secha. Great is your emuna. So first of all, the idea of rab, great, is expresses something that's beyond the normal limitations of things. And similarly, emuna is something that you need to relate to, that's the way, that's something that you relate to because it's beyond your comprehension. So that's the idea, that by a Jew, he has to have both things. He has to have his tevadika avoida, his avoida which he does with his natural abilities and the natural order of the world, and then he has to have an aspect of avoida in which he introduces something new and something above and beyond his normal limitations. So the Rebbe says, even more so, you see this in the morning blessings. Even more so, the Rebbe says, in the morning blessings, that the morning blessings, you start off, what are you thanking Hashem for? You thank Hashem for the rooster that calls out the difference between day and night. You thank him for the ability to see. You thank him for the ability to walk. You thank him for the ability to... You thank him for all the things that are part of the normal, natural order. From there, where do you go? You go to Berachas HaTorah, blessing him, thanking him for the Torah, which in general is above the natural order, and then you actually say portions from the written Torah and from the oral Torah. Okay, so this is the same idea that in the Judas, basically these two approaches, starting with himself and how he relates to the world, is the approach in which he operates within the finite restrictions and limitations of his own nature and the nature of the world. And then there's the avoda of revealing his neshama, bringing out the avoda which is primarily expressed in the study of Torah and doing a mitzvah, which is beyond the normal limitations of the world. The Rebbe says this is something that even a little child could understand. And here the Rebbe also goes out and explains this the way a little child would understand. A child understands that he has two parts to his makeup, a body and a soul. His body, he understands, is how does his body stay alive through the natural order of things by eating and drinking. And in general, his body functions according to the order of nature of the world. His soul, he understands, is something hidden in and of itself. He doesn't see it with his eyes, but he feels and understands that there is some power that transcends, higher than the body, transcends the body, which gives him life. The child also understands that his body, being a physical thing, which he can see with his eyes, has certain limitations and has a certain size and shape, okay? And it requires a certain amount of eating and drinking in order to survive. Whereas his soul, which is spirit, which is spiritual and godly, has no physical limitations, and therefore he understands that the avodah that he does with his body, that the body should serve God, is connected with the limitations of the body and the world. Whereas the avodah he does with his neshama is without those limitations. Also, in the neshama itself, there are levels. Generally speaking, we say there's the inner level of the soul and the external level of the soul. Oh, right, this sounds like heavy stuff. No, the child understands that too. Why? The child understands that there are things that affect him very deeply, which he pursues with great energy. And then there are things that are not that important to him. Things that he would go after them, but not so hard, and sometimes might even forget about them. They're not as important to him. She understands the idea that the things that affect him more superficially and the things that affect him much more deeply, that he cares about much more deeply. So the same thing. That there are two aspects of the neshama. The external aspect of the neshama is more associated with the finite limitations relative to the avodah of the inner part of the neshama, which transcends all limitations. The same thing. Within the avodah of a Jew itself, there's the distinction between the external spirituality and the internal spirituality. The external spirituality is associated with the what we call the body of the Torah, and the internal spirituality of the neshama is more associated with the soul of the Torah, and the soul of the soul, which is primus haTorah, that transcends all limitations. Similarly, in mitzvahs, there's the body of the mitzvah, there's the act of the mitzvah itself, and then there's the kavanah of the mitzvah. So in each day, you have to have both these aspects of avodah, and you have to conjoin the two of them together, both the avodah with the guf, and also the avodah with the neshama, whether the avodah is studying the revealed part of the Torah, and the avodah of studying the inner part of the Torah. But the avodah of fulfilling the mitzvahs in the physical sense, and also having the proper intent in the mitzvahs, which requires great effort. And in a way that you do all, each of these two things, you do them together. So the Rebbe says his instruction in Hagei L'Pael is to actually, in preparation for Yud Beis Thomas, to actually increase, accept upon yourself an increase in all of these things, to actually, in addition to your regular learning, you should take one aspect of Nigla, one aspect of Siddhas, and learn it more in depth. At least one thing, learn it more in depth, and especially if you could do it in a way where the two are connected to each other, the Rebbe says, which is especially easy to find in the Chassidus of the Chabad Rebbeim, and also in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, to increase in the doing of the mitzvah, to doing it with greater hiddah, and also in the kavanah of the mitzvah, and the Rebbe says, especially the mitzvah of tzedakah. And the Rebbe goes on and says, in connection with the Chag HaGaula itself, to plan for Farbrengens before, the night before, then the night after, during, after, the following days, in which many Jews gather together and they help each other and take on good resolutions in adding in Yiddishkeit, Torah and Mitzvahs, especially in spreading Torah and Yiddishkeit and spreading the wellsprings outward. So here's just the conclusion. The Yiratzin, the Rebbe says that immediately, even before the Chag HaGaula, especially before the day of Shiva Asa B'Tamuz, the Geula should already come, so that even before the beginning of the 3 weeks, we should have the transformation of these days to days of joy and to holidays and the true and complete redemption through Mashiach Tzidkenu. So the Rebbe says like this, as for Zayin B'Pashtus, it should be, in the most literal sense, Bias HaMashiach. That's an expression you should be familiar with, Bias HaMashiach, the coming of Mashiach. The Hispashtos HaMashiach. That's got to be one you never heard before. Okay? Hispashtos HaMashiach. The Rebbe said, again, if you know what's going on at the time, where you have this whole issue, should we spread it, should we not spread it, should we say it, shouldn't we say it? Here the Rebbe says we should have the coming of Mashiach and the spashtas, the spreading of Mashiach, the extension of Mashiach, a king from the house of David, and he should do and succeed and build the Mikdash in its place, and so on. And then the Rebbe adds another thing. This is, again, this is Parshas Chukas, which is the week immediately following Gimel Tammuz, the first Shabbos after Gimel Tammuz that year. And the Rebbe says that all of this should be in a way of Rambam. Since we said that we should have Mashiach like the Psak of the Rambam, the way the king from the house of the Lang said, all this should be in the way of Rambam, which we know that Rambam is Rosh HaTevis, Revise Maifsai Be'eretz Mitzrayim, my miracles should be increased in the land of Egypt, that even while within the constraints and limitations of exile should be revealed the plenitude of my miracles. It should be to such a degree that when you ask a Jew, what is the last Maifas that you saw? He answers, what do you mean the last one? There are, and there will be so many, such an increase of Maifsim, which in the word revise, increase, doesn't have a limit on it. It just says increase. Increase means on and when Torah says increase, it means on and on and on. It doesn't mean, it doesn't stop anywhere. It doesn't say where the increase stops. It keeps going. So the Rebbe says that that's the way this should be, that even while within the confines and constraints of Golos, when you ask a Jew, there should be so many miracles abounding that when you ask a Jew, what's the last miracle that you saw? He's just like what do you ask about the last one? There's so many going on now. What do you need to know about the last one? To the point that immediately we have the true and complete redemption. And we should also have a kitzuv ranu sheichni offer, the balagula in their midst and at their head, together with all Jews. And we should go to the Beis HaMikdash. So here, here again, the Rebbe is very much is bringing out that this whole talk, that all these ideas and concepts that he's talking, on the one hand, he brings it down to the most simple level. He explains how even a little child understands it. On the other hand, he's also explaining the idea that all of this is not just Stam, we woke up one day and now this is where we're at. The point is that this is, we're holding at the point of the coming of Mashiach and the spreading of Mashiach and the days in which we're supposed to make the transition from and the transformation of all the days associated with days of sadness and negativity and transforming them into days of happiness and joy and holidays, which hopefully we will succeed in completing soon enough so that actually this year we will be celebrating Shavuot, Sukkot, and Tisha B'Av as actual holidays.